You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to More Perfect Marketing. It's David Baer here, and I want to share a story years back working with a client who was still is a financial advisor. We were talking about ways to connect with more prospective clients for him. And, you know, there's lots of ways to market. As if you're a regular listener of this program, you know that it's not all about just doing stuff online. His business was really built predominantly offline. A lot of networking, a lot of getting together with clients, orchestrating referrals to people they knew and all of that sort of thing. And one day we sat down and started talking about, well, how do we harness the online world to be able to extend his reach to people that he can't necessarily reach out to and have these types of very personal relationship-based connections? And he kept saying, I don't think it's possible. I don't think it can be done, because what he and I were both seeing online really wasn't representing what he was doing offline. And so it begs the question, is this in fact a possibility? Is the way that we conduct ourselves in a person-to-person or human-to-human manner possible in the reality of the way that so many businesses present themselves online? Well, to help us answer that question, I'm so thrilled to have Brian Kramer here, who is an expert in understanding the human interaction that is at the core of the way that we harness a lot of the technology-based interaction, particularly on social media and elsewhere. So, Brian, welcome.
What a great start to this. I love it. I love it. And thank you for having me.
Yeah, awesome. I was thinking about, you know, the topic that you have really positioned yourself around, this human to human concept. And I remember hearing at some point where that first came about. And I'd love for you to share that story of the presentation you were doing and how the human to human thing really clicked. But I was thinking, okay, this is a topic that I've encountered time and again in working with clients, and even thinking through the way that I behave in our current environment. And it's something that I imagine many business owners, particularly in the small professional business space or the marketing agency space, service provider space that I spend my time in, really struggle with, or they're blind to, but hopefully we can open their eyes to the more greater context around the issue.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it's certainly changed over the years. When I first spoke about it publicly in 2014, we were talking about it for years before that in our agency and used it as our guiding light or direction or where we're heading with all of our clients in creating more human moments, whether it's in design or in the UI or in sales to marketing, and how all that works. In 2014, it took off because I think at the time, or I know at the time, social media had just finally become a relevant player where everyone realized that companies no longer could have.
How would you like to become part of the More Perfect Marketing family? You can when you join our free online community, More Perfect Marketers. Inside, you'll get access to our collection of marketing cheat sheets to help you streamline your business growth, as well as the videos from David's Niche Challenge, which will teach you the counterintuitive approach to selling more by focusing on a narrower audience. To join for free, please visit mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. Now, back to the show.
The voice, and only the voice, where the customer now had a voice. And social media changed all that. Now, all of a sudden, if they wanted to go on to Twitter or Facebook or wherever and say, my pizza wasn't on time, why publicly this was something that the company had to deal with. And now we take that for granted as table stakes years later, companies knowing that they have to use that as a communication channel. So that was a lot of the reason for why it was so relevant and became more relevant more than ever, and also broke down geo fences around the world where, you know, we could talk to each other and do it in a way that we've never seen before. Where that's changed now years later and still has remained relevant, which I'm surprised, was surprised that it still got written up and became, you know, word of the year almost every year over year. And I was just astonished because I think that the more automated we become, the more we crave connection. And we're losing that more and more because there is more automation, whether you call it AI, machine learning, artificial intelligence, all that kind of stuff. And we had a pandemic, which is the pandemic broke connection. It's the number one thing that we all crave as humans, and we had it taken away from us. So we now know what it's like to not have and be in total connection the way that we're used to. What does that mean for the future? How does that work with a hybrid or a remote world? What does that look like for businesses moving forward and how they are? So it's no longer just about being online and having conversation. This is something that's going to be a challenge for years to come.
Yeah, I would say you and I are probably exposed to certain pieces like the AI stuff, right? That is very, very present in the marketing world. As I, you know, go out and talk to, you know, I still have a lot of financial advisors in my world, and I'll say, oh, did you look at? I'm gonna use the wrong name because it's changed its name, you know, twice now. But Jasper is its current name. It's a major AI writing tool that has, you know, amassed a huge following. And you know, I'll talk about this as a, hey, you want to get more effective at consistently producing stuff? Well, here's something that can help you do that faster. And they have no idea what I'm talking about, right? But to challenge the idea that the pandemic has separated us a bit more, it's also, to a certain extent, brought a lot of people closer together. It's probably not the same impact, but I have access to people on the other side of the globe now that I never did. And mm-hmm. I have great relationships, although I've never met them in person, with people, you know, mm-hmm. around the world too. So, you know, there's an upside and a downside. Obviously there's nuance to all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's the light side and the dark side to everything. And as whether you call it marketers or leaders or whatever your role is, our job is to use it for the good. Now what I get asked a lot is, what does that mean in terms of when these tools do come out and we use them, does that make us less human? And it really is in how we each use it. We each need to create a way within our company that we're going to define how it gets used in the most human way. If we start using it to create less human interaction, less connection, which at the end of the day, that's what we all want. We want more time and more conversation with the right person. And that's okay. That's all right. When you use Jarvis to create something, you know, when you hit a wall and you don't know what to write and you go into Jarvis and you use a, you know, a little sentence or two and it creates more things to drive your thinking so that you can be more creative. Why not? As a productivity tool, as a way for any tool in any business, use the tool to be more human. And on the other end, if it's creating more conversation with the right person, I think you're using it in the right way. If it's creating less conversation, less connection, you think it's going to take the place of that connection, then it's not going to work. That's That's the dark side. That's when we start to use it so much. We over automate. We don't write in the tone of, and Jarvis isn't perfect. You can't write in a tone that is not your voice. Only you can do your voice. So these tools are just there to help us, and they'll get better over time. And at some point it will replace me in person with you, but still it won't replace my soul to your soul.
I hear this all the time. You've talked in the past about Facebook having machines talk to machines on their platforms. I see this play out a lot with LinkedIn messaging. And a lot of people have, whether it's within the terms of service or not, automated a lot of that outreach. And then the response is automated. And so you have these conversations where there's not a real person actually participating.
Right. Yeah. It's, I mean, yeah, to what you're talking about, that the Facebook thing, just for anyone who's listening, was when Facebook Messenger, they created a bot, an AI bot for it, just to test it out on their end back at Facebook, when it was Facebook, not Meta. And the Messenger bot was talking to its own Messenger bot and created its own language. And that language started to take off, and no one knew what the bots were talking about, and they had to shut it down very quickly because this AI had started to actually have a temporal brain. They were connecting in and actually having a real conversation that no one else understood. That's when the AI wasn't defined. We have to define it in a linear line so that we know what this task is for and how it's going to be used. That same thing, yes, we're seeing it on LinkedIn, and nothing turns me off, and I know you, more than a message that doesn't make sense, that you look at it and you go, I know that that's a copy paste. Mm-hmm. I know that you just copy pasted and sent it to me, and nothing makes me more frustrated than LinkedIn messaging because of that, because it's like 9 out of 10 are automated. But there's an opportunity there too. The opportunity is stand out with a human message. Look at less people, try not to automate, and use the human approach, and watch your response rate go up, because no one's used to it. Everyone is used to the opposite of what they get. So there's a huge, yes, there's a time suck to having to actually do the human work. We can outsource that. We can have VAs do that. We can put in place human moments that actually create more of that. I even think demand gen, or direct mail, I should say, is back. Like, how often do we receive something in the mail that's a handwritten note or something that somebody says that actually was meaningful, that they bought for you? That can be small. And they're like, I was just thinking of you, and here you go. And you got it in the actual mail versus in a DM on Twitter or LinkedIn. Rarely do we ever get that. So there's so many opportunities to stand out just by being human, is my point.
I love the direct mail example, and we've talked to a couple of other guests on this program about the use of direct mail to be human, the use of strategic gifting to make a connection. In our business, we use one of the many platforms that are out there now that help automate some of that, mail interaction, where we will take people from who are tagged in a database, move them into a campaign that we send out postcards. And they're clever little postcards that one of our staff takes photographs of myself and my business partner, and puts us in nearly compromising positions sometimes. But some cute theme, like, it's National Milk and Cookies Day, and suddenly I have a cookie in my hand and milk dripping from my mouth or something like that. And there's a cookie that's, included in the thing. And that's just, a way to extend a little bit of intentional customer delight. And I imagine that there's lots of ways to emulate this kind of thing online as well. And so I want to get back to this question that I raised at the top of the conversation, which is it possible to be able to use some of these tools? And you referenced some of this in the LinkedIn scenario you've just talked about. Some of the tools that we have online to be able to build on relationship in a real genuine way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There are times and places for it, and there are times and places not for it. The place that it happens is, you know, like for instance, in email marketing, I think that email marketing is one of the best places to be right now, because you simply get to own your marketing, own your brand, and own your list, which you can't do on social media. And it allows you to generate more connection from one to many, done in the right way. And when it's time to escalate that to a one-to-one with the right tool, you can create a scenario or a place where you are having a one-to-one conversation out of the one-to-many, so that you're identifying the places where it is right to be human in a digital platform. And so, you know, you can do that on any platform. Now, it just so happens that email is a little bit, I think, farther along when it comes to one-to-many and then one-to-one. LinkedIn doesn't have that as a tool yet. They do sort of, when you look at the newsletter that they brought out, you can go one-to-many. And then when somebody has an engagement on your post, or they have an engagement in your social media, it's time to actually take that forward into a one-to-one. It's a little bit more manual is what I'm talking about. In email, it's not as manual. You can actually use that to your benefit to create that. And then that's up to you as a creative to make that jump off the page. So we were talking about LinkedIn and how it's just like every single LinkedIn message is so automated, so, it's so consistently out of tone for what I might want to hear. But when you look at an email, you have the ability to jump off the page with your voice and your tone and your exuberance or whatever it is, and be interesting in that email. Don't be like everyone else and do a sales format. Be more approachable. Give more. Serve more. Create more. And then stand back and watch people connect more, because they are receiving something from you that's less me, and more you.
Mm-hmm. I want to get into the H2H concept, and it's in fact the name of your business, and it was at the core of what I was so intrigued by when I heard the story that you shared about the presentation you did and the audience reaction. And I wonder if you can share that story. And then I want to get a little bit into sort of how this can play out in other ways. Do you mind sharing that story of the slide?
Yeah, no problem. So that was in 2014. And what happened is, when I was in Bloomberg West in San Francisco, I was giving a presentation to a lot of CMOs and executives, marketing executives in the audience, right audience, right time, right place. The presentation was not actually about H2H. It had a slide in the middle of it that helped to support the bigger, idea of what makes things go viral. And, right in the middle was that slide, which is now the cover of the book. And it said right there's no B2B or B2C, it's H2H, human to human, with my name at the bottom. And then I went to the next slide, and the person who's the MC for the event leaned over and said, wait a second, go back to that slide right in the middle of my keynote. I was like, that's never happened before. So the audience is like, wow, yeah, go back. And I did. And I said, and they said, tell us more about that. And as I'm doing it, everyone's taking pictures and posting it on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram at the time, LinkedIn, and all, you know, everywhere that was up, Pinterest. It went viral. So over the next 48 hours, it got over 124 million impressions, and the engagement was just unbelievable. That spurred me then to come home. My wife and I co-owned the business. And so and she's a great editor, writer as well. And so we took everything that I'd written about that topic for the previous 2 years and wrote a book in the next week, because everything, we self-published it, which was the only way that we could get it out that quickly. The reason that we did that is because the incoming or influx of people that were coming in saying, what does this mean for us for where we're at right now, is just we couldn't manage it. We couldn't respond. And so we figured that if we put a book out that actually responded and gave back exactly what they were asking for, we would do, you know, and we would do the same thing. And we did. And it became a big bestseller. And sent me on the road for, 200 days a year over the next few years talking about this topic. So it was a right time, right place. Also, given where the economy and where marketing was at and what was changing, it resonated real loudly.
Yeah. There's a reason I wanted you to share this story for this audience. And it's because you did something there that led you down a path that someone else who was on that stage, who, you know, was doing that presentation, might not have paid attention to what was happening in the audience and what was happening online. But you took the time to listen, which I know is something that's important to you as well, and then to do something about it. And I wonder if you can speak a little bit to you know, your observations on, you know, what happens when you listen versus when you don't.
Yeah. Oh, it's the mother of all skills. If you listening is it's, thank you for that question, because it's my favorite thing. That I don't get asked that a lot, and a lot of things, the reason for why I like it is because I don't think that a lot of people know how to listen. I think, you know, there's three levels of listening. The level one listening is when you're listening to someone, but you know, or you're thinking about what you want to say next, and you're not really listening to the other person. You're kind of like, you know, hearing it, but you can say it back to the other person, but it's not really present because you're so wrapped up in what's going on. This happens a lot at cocktail parties. It's really hard to listen beyond a level one to another person. When you can hone it though into a level two, it starts to get more interesting, because now you're listening to the other person and you're trying to follow along so that you know what you're going to ask next. And that will keep the conversation going in a much more intuitive way. Level three is the listening level of all listening. That's when you are totally locked in on what the person's saying, and you're not even thinking about what you're going to say next. You're trusting that when it's time to speak, you're going to know what to say. But what you're doing is you're involved in the conversation, totally for what the other person is speaking to. When you can be in level three listening all the time, whether it's as a brand, as a person, online, in communication, you're winning, because the other person is now locked, knowing that you are there and present with them. I mean, it just changes the energy and the flow of every conversation when you're locked in on level three. And so this is where I think everyone has the power of using social media, you know, digital marketing, just about any kind of communication platform, or internally, even HR, in ops. If we use level three listening, or even just the different levels of listening, it can really create the atmosphere that you want within or outside your company.
Okay. I know that I am, particularly, you know, when I'm a podcast host, right? And I'm thinking about what do I need to ask next, right? I'm not paying attention to all of the content. And maybe I'm doing level one and level two. And in a natural conversation, when I know I don't have other people listening, right, I'm very comfortable doing the level three, because there's no silence. You know, there's no problem with having silence, right? Mm-hmm. I can reflect, right? But I'm fully aware, sitting here having listeners, you know, tuned in, hopefully, right? You're there. That silence is either got to be edited out, which I'm too lazy to do, or I want to, you know, make sure that I keep the flow of the conversation. But the level three is incredibly appealing. Mm-hmm. And as you were talking about it, then you went on to talk about how if you can use it on social media, if you can use it in those interactions as a brand. And I'm thinking, that's interesting, but I don't understand how that would work. Can you illustrate that a little bit for us?
Sure. You know, it happens a lot in when we are sitting there and we're listening to a live stream, or we're in a conversation, in even just a post, a post and response, or post and reply. A lot of times I see ego get in the way, or self-promotion, or a number of other things. And when you can use level three listening, in a level three listening, you're engaged in what the post is actually saying, you're engaged in what the live stream is saying, and you're responding in what's coming up for you at that moment. Not what do I need to say? Oh, you know, and you're turning and you're churning and you're looking at the saboteur who's sitting next to you saying, I'm not enough, or I can't do this. That's going to give a different response in any of those situations than being present with whatever's being written or said, and responding to that without ego, without thinking of what do I need to say? What should I say? Versus what needs to be said here in this moment, and where is my come from? And when you can change your come from, it changes the game, because now they see your response as heartfelt in the moment, and it creates a different energy for a conversation, to take it offline, to be in person, to have a more human to human conversation. And you can spot it a mile away when you see this online and you're starting to look at it from this level. Of even what brands say back, like if you look at Wendy's, I would say is the most level three listening of a lot of brands. They see what happens in the moment and they post with unabashed humor, and yes, then people respond, and they respond back in a way that allows them to say, "We hear you." But we do it with humor. We do it with humility. We do it with more human emotion. And that changes the game. We all love brands that know how to speak with us, not to us.
You brought up Wendy's, and I always think of the back and forth from several years ago now, where somebody was saying, there's no way that you're serving fresh beef, that it's got to be frozen, and how they with such great humor had an exchange where they, you know, embarrassed the guy totally, but made themselves look great. And I totally. I see how that can play out.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of what we're taught, particularly professionals who are trying to get attention, is to position themselves as, you know, either thought leaders in the comments or in the replies to somebody's post, to say, hey, I'm smart too, and to piggyback on the popularity of something. And what you're talking about is really the antithesis of that.
Totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's exactly, you got it. It's not to do that. It's to create a special moment, a moment, you know, a human moment, a micro moment. If the more micro moments and micro human moments we can create, that human touch points, if you will, in all of our marketing, in everything, you're going to win, because those are the moments that people go to the mountaintops and shout out. Those are the people that say, oh my God, you just made a difference. I will always do business with you because of that moment in time. We have them at Disney. We have them at all these big brands, but we can create these at any business and any time.
I want to make sure before we wrap up that folks have a better sense of, you know, how you're spending your time these days. Cause you've been a presenter, a thought leader, you're traveling, you know, around speaking. Hopefully you're traveling around once again speaking. But to talk a little bit about what you do, what H&H Companies does, and I don't even know if the agency is still an active part of your regular life as well.
Yeah. Thanks for asking. We have Pure Matter, that is a marketing consultancy. And we work with brands as an outsourced CMO, creative director, if you will, and we'll help to create and plug ourselves in ways with purpose-driven brands that are a great fit for being more human in this world. And so that's where we're working more on the outsourced CMO role. And strategic advisor. On the H2H company side, that's thought leadership, education, and coaching, executive coaching. And so that's where I'm spending most of my time doing that and helping executives to create a path for themselves and for their company that is more expressive of who they are and where they want to go. Rather than, being dictated by, whatever it is that's in their environment. So I am doing a lot of executive coaching, and then we also help entrepreneurs to create a more sustainable business.
As you talk about the types of businesses that you're supporting with Pure Matter and you're solving a problem in what you're doing with the clients at H&H, which is that we've sort of been going down this slippery slope for, since the beginning of the social media part, I guess, of the internet, right? Of communicating and interacting and or not communicating or interacting as well as we could have. And so it sounds like what you're doing is helping people get out of that rut or that routine or heading further down that slippery slope.
Yeah, that's what we all do. We all get complacent. You saw that in the pandemic when we all had to look at new ways of being, and what does that mean for us, and how are we going to move forward? We have executives are doing wonderful work, and they're creating. They created exactly what they want. And now they're looking at themselves and saying, what's next? Where do I go from here? And especially with there being a mass exit and there being a lot of change in how we work and how we're doing hybrid versus remote. And how do I manage my team in the most human way from remote? And these are all being defined, even though it's been around for a while, it's now becoming a thing to where, just like social media settled in, I think it's going to be even more so important over the next few years that we're redefining the rules of what it is to work with each other inside a business and outside. And so, we're working with them on that leadership, marketing, planning, operations. It really is all inclusive. It's not a matter of building one of those layers. You got to build them all and then figure out what it really satisfies you as an executive, and then outsource the rest or hire the rest or create the rest so that you're enjoying what you do every day and not getting stuck in your home office looking at a Zoom screen doing back-to-back meetings from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and going, is this all I have accomplished in my life? No, it's not all you've accomplished. There's more in this world, and we can do this in a way easier, more human way.
You've just described my worst nightmare of a day, but it's the day that I'm having today, apparently. So this has been a great introduction to your world, Brian. And I want to make sure that folks can find out more about you. You have an eponymous website, briankramer.com. We'll make sure to include that in the show notes. But if you're listening and you don't know how Brian spells his name, it's BryanKramer. So, Brian Kramer, thank you so much. This has been a fabulous conversation.
David, I really appreciate it. Your questions are I normally get on and I get scripted questions, and this has been a very human conversation, which actually, just as you know already, it delights the heck out of me. So thank you so much.
Indeed. Folks, this has been More Perfect Marketing. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you know somebody who could benefit from listening to the very human conversation we've just had, please share it with them. And until next time, I'm David Baer. I'll see you back here again on More Perfect Marketing. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.